Thank you. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to John chapter 4. And what that song was about this morning is what I'd like to preach about, is the woman at the well. Very first thing I'd like to say is the purpose of a conference is not just to inform the people, to challenge the people, to give you a lot of facts and information that you're probably not aware of right now and to leave here more educated. But the purpose of this conference is, number one, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to magnify Him. In John chapter 4, you're going to see the Lord teach us a very important lesson. Ask the Lord to somehow allow me to take the burden that He put in my heart for lost people that are victims in the cult community. Somehow to convey that burden to a people that I would be addressing across this country and around the world. And as I prayed about that, the Lord showed me in the Bible a classic example of a cult, and how a cult is formed, and how a cult declares itself, and how it becomes a religious movement. I'd like to introduce that idea to you, and by reading John chapter 4, the very first verses there, and introducing this woman that is known as the woman at the well. There are villains in the cult community, and those villains are the Joseph Smiths. Those villains are the 12 elite people that sit on the governing body of the Jehovah's Witness Watchtower organization, who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're not God's anointed, who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that angels aren't directing them in their communications. People like Joseph Smith, who said an angel by the name of Moroni came down and showed him where to go to dig to find the golden tablets. These type of people are the villains. They have visions and dreams and lies and things that they use to deceive a multitude of people. And then there are a group of people that follow these vicious cult leaders like Dave Koresh and like Jim Jones, who led 912 victims to a death by taking poison. These at our text in John chapter 4, the attitude problem that exists. You say, well, this isn't a conference on cult evangelism. Why are we dealing with an attitude problem? Because I'll tell you what, you're not going to win any cult people until this attitude problem is resolved. It's like the old saying goes, don't tell me how much you know until you show me how much you care. You cannot reach out to the cult community with an indifferent heart. You cannot reach out to the cult community with just facts and figures that are going to try to knock them off their ivory tower. It doesn't work that way. The first thing that has to be resolved, the attitude problem has to be corrected in your heart and in mine, and we have to have a burden for these people. And I want to show you how this attitude problem existed in the Lord's day, among some of the choicest servants that the Lord had selected in His time. She said, how is it that thou being a Jew, and she only recognized the Lord, you might say, she might have asked the question of you, how is it that you being a Christian, how is it that you being a Christian ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? And then when the disciples came back about verse 27, and of course, if there's anyone here today that is like this Samaritan woman who was simply lost, I want you to recognize one thing. In God's eyes, it doesn't matter if a person is a lost Baptist, if he's a lost Methodist, if he's a lost Catholic, if he's a lost Mormon, if he's a lost Jehovah's Witness, if he's a lost Muslim, if he's a lost person that's in Islam, if he's a lost person, he's lost. And that's the only way God sees us, as lost people. He doesn't see these barriers. He doesn't see these identification tags that we put on people that create indifference in our heart. He doesn't see that at all. When the Lord saw this woman, He saw a woman simply that was a sheep that had gone astray, that she was a lost person, and that she needed to be saved. He said, if thou knewest, if every cult person around the world, if they just knew the Lord Jesus. And I want you to see how this attitude problem exists, not only in people like you and me, but in the ranks of Christian leadership. When the Samaritans would not receive them, they made some rather harsh statements. They said this to the Lord. He said, would thou that we command fire to come down out of heaven? Now, there's something about that statement that troubles me. No, the disciples, if I would have been there, and as in their shoes, I would have been probably just as bad off as they were. But one exception, I don't think I would have said, can we call the fire down from heaven?
I think I would have said, Lord, would you call fire down from heaven? But in this particular moment, they had such a hatred. They had such an indifference against the cult community that they so boldly said, Lord, I know how to solve this problem. If you would just let us, me and John here, if we could just call some fire down from heaven, we'll just burn them all up and make crispy craters out of them, and that'll get rid of the problem. Like in the days of Elijah. My, such words from such spiritual men. And how did the Lord respond to those words? In verse 55, he turned and he rebuked them. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. He said, you fellows have an attitude problem. And he said, you don't even know it. He said, let me tell you something, men. He said, you're the choice. You're the cream of the crop. You're the ones that are going to go on and do great things. He said, well, let me tell you something. Let me settle the record right here and right now how I feel about the cult community. He said, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And you wonder why the parable of the Good Samaritan? You know what the Lord taught us in that parable? You know why he used the Samaritan? He could have used any person in that parable. Why, I think he used the Samaritan. Because the Samaritans are doing the things that you and I are supposed to be doing. That Samaritan was doing the things that the Jews were supposed to be doing. He's the one that took them in. He's the one that paid to have that man. He's the one that had a burden. He's the one that did that. And I'll guarantee you, the cult people are out there knocking on your doors because they really believe in their hearts that you're lost in your Baptist church. They really believe if you don't belong to the Mormon church, you're not going to make it. They really believe that. And they're going about spending their time and spending their money and spending their effort because they're doing the things that you and I, as God's children, should be doing.